Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has labeled the current draft of the EU fiscal compact unsatisfactory for the Czech Republic. The Czech construction company Metrostav has signed an exclusive agreement with the US firm Westinghouse to expand the Temelín nuclear power plant if the US company wins a tender for the deal. And Defense Minister Alexander Vondra has announced a proposal for the Czech mandate in Afghanistan will be completed by the spring. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas, upon his arrival at an EU summit in Brussels on Monday, said that the current draft of the fiscal compact was unsatisfactory for the Czech Republic. If the Czech Republic was to sign the compact and contribute funds to the IMF, it should be treated as a full-fledged partner, he said. Mr. Nečas added that without full Czech participation in Eurozone summits, the pact would not be acceptable. EU leaders are expected to sign off on the final text of the fiscal compact aimed at establishing tighter fiscal discipline across the Eurozone as well as in some countries outside of the common currency zone on Monday. Another point on the agenda is a treaty creating the European Stability Mechanism. Czech Defense Minister Alexander Vondra will be presenting a proposal for the Czech mandate in Afghanistan up until the year 2014 in the spring. Mr. Vondra told press on Monday that Czech troops would continue taking part in the peacekeeping mission ISAF, but that the contingent would gradually be reduced. NATO members had entered the mission together and should finish it together as well, he said. He added that he would be discussing the Czech mandate with the opposition and that he wanted to ensure the soldiers currently serving in Afghanistan would be informed of the details of a possible future deployment by the end of this year when their current deployment ends. Mr. Vondra will also be discussing the ISAF mission in Brussels at the end of this week, as well as at the upcoming NATO summit in Chicago in May. Some 600 Czech soldiers are currently deployed in Afghanistan. The Czech construction company Metrostav has signed a cooperation agreement with the U.S. firm Westinghouse, which has applied for a tender to complete the Temelín nuclear power plant. The contract signed on Monday concerns the construction of two new reactors at the plant, which should amount to some 30% of the total price of the tender. Metrostav's general director said that while other bidders for the Temelín tender had approached his company, he believed Westinghouse had a strong chance of winning it. In December, Westinghouse signed a cooperation agreement with the Czech engineering company Vítkovice with a view to supplying components for the two plant blocks at the Temelín nuclear power plant. Westinghouse is one of the three bidders in a multi-million tender to build new reactors at the Temelín plant, along with Francis Areva and the Russian state enterprise Atomstroy Export. The total cost of the two new reactors for Temelín is estimated to reach roughly 150 billion Czech crowns. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The start of the week brings clear and very cold conditions with daytime temperatures just between minus 6 and minus 2 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka and this brings us to the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and I'm Peter Smith. Coming up in today's show, the Czech delegation is in Brussels as EU leaders thrash out the Eurozone recovery package. So are the Czechs in or out? We'll try to untangle this complex web. And in the sport, Petra Kvitová misses out on the chance to be the world number one as she bows out in the semi-finals of the Australian Open. And in this week's one-on-one, the Czech documentary filmmaker Martin Dušek talks to Sarah Barufka about his work and his Sudeten German heritage. This is Radio Prague. Please stay tuned. After much controversy at home on whether the Czech Republic should join the Eurozone's emerging fiscal compact, the Czech government delegation headed for Monday's key EU summit in Brussels determined to keep its options open. In the midst of continuing discord on the subject, there's just one thing the Czech politicians heartily agree upon. They want to have a finger in every pie. Daniela Lazarová has more.
Anyone expecting the Czech Republic to make a firm commitment regarding the EU fiscal compact at Monday's summit is sure to be disappointed. The Czech government last week gave what it called conditional approval to the country joining the EU fiscal pact, if such a decision is approved by Parliament or sanctioned by a popular vote. Consequently, the Czech government delegation headed for the talks in Brussels with an open mind and a reassuring maybe. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said Prague could not seriously be expected to make a commitment on something which was still in the making.
There are still five areas, five articles of this treaty which have not been finalized and which remain unclear.
What Prague is ready to offer at this point is involvement in negotiating the final terms of the fiscal union, and it has a few suggestions of its own, in some ways more stringent than those proposed by Eurozone members. The Czech government secretary for EU affairs, Viktor Belling.
We would like the strict fiscal discipline rules to apply not just to countries which have problems with a deficit in public spending, but also to those which are burdened by a big foreign debt.
The Czech Prime Minister claims it is not fear of being unable to meet the new fiscal rules that is holding the country back from a firm commitment, but the question of ceding significant powers to Brussels, which he says is not within the government's mandate to approve. However, once the document is finalised and constitutional lawyers have had their say on the matter, the issue is likely to remain a thorny one. The Czech political scene is divided on whether the decision should be made by Parliament or settled in a national referendum. And the country's Eurosceptic president, Václav Klaus, has already made it clear that he will not, under any circumstances, ratify such a treaty. With a president's mandate due to expire in March of 2013, the country is not likely to join the EU's fiscal compact anytime soon, at least not in the proper sense of the word. But aware of the fact that the stability of the euro and the success of this rescue effort is crucial to the Czech Republic's export-dependent economy, the Czech Prime Minister may opt to sign the fiscal compact upon completion and will almost certainly make a strong bid for the country to secure an invitation to future Eurozone summits. It would be an indication that the Czechs want to stay in the European fold and are willing to pull their weight. But, like the approval of a 1.5 billion euro loan to the IMF to help stabilise the European debt crisis, exactly half of the amount requested, it would be only a tentative commitment, stopping halfway short of target.
Daniela Lazarová there with that report. You're tuned to Radio Prague. We're turning to the sport now, and it was a string of missed opportunities for Czech tennis players down under. Well, mostly anyway. Here's Christian Falvey.
The Australian Open ended with mixed blessings for the Czech players, the happiest of whom was doubtless Radek Štěpánek. Unseeded Štěpánek and Leander Paes of India won the men's doubles tournament, defeating the defending champions, the American Bryan twins, 7-6, 6-2. With that, the Karviná native Štěpánek leapt forward 68 places in the rankings to world 23rd, two places behind his compatriot František Čermák. Favorite Petra Kvitová was knocked out in the semifinal, losing to the eventual runner-up Maria Sharapova, but retains her second place in the Women's Tennis Association rankings. This is what she had to say after the match.
Začátek byl hrozně takový nervózní z mé strany a vůbec.
The beginning was a bit nerve-wracking for me and I simply wasn't ready for a semi-final round. In the first set I was stiff and I guess that cost me. I tried to turn it round in the second set and get back to the kind of tennis I usually play because in the first set I'd been under pressure the whole time and in the third set I had some chances to break but unfortunately she was in form. I guess that's what it's all about, taking advantage of your opportunities for bigger points, and that's what Sharapova did today.
Likewise, the ATP standing of Tomáš Berdych was unaffected by his quarterfinal loss last week to Rafael Nadal. He remains in seventh place. Speed skater Karolina Erbanová might have left her premier in the 2012 World Sprint Speed Skating Championships in Calgary last weekend, in 17th place overall, but she set a few records nonetheless, setting a new combined score for an under-19-year-old with 152,470 points. That was thanks to the new national records Erbanová set in the 500-meter race, and in the kilometer race, where she actually managed to tie the world juniors record of 4 years ago. Even with a 17th place finish and overcoming an ankle problem, Erbanová managed to fulfill another mission set by her coach, namely securing two places for the Czech Republic in the next sprint championship. Cyclocross racers Zdeněk Štíbar lost the champion's rainbow jersey he has worn for the last 2 years to Niels Albert after losing more than 3.25 minutes in the World Championships in Belgium while running a fever and coming in 13th place. Štíbar was clearly unhappy with the fact, saying it hurt, and that he had enjoyed the jersey for 2 years, but such was sport. Albert, meanwhile, took a convincing win ahead of six other Belgians. The first Czech through the sandy track was Radomir Šimunek in 8th place. Lastly, Plzeň footballer David Bistroň will likely be waiting for a UEFA verdict on doping charges until the end of February, according to the daily Mladá Fronta, which also speculates the central defender may have taken the methamphetamine known as Pervitin that he received at a party. Bistroň was automatically suspended at the beginning of January. He could be given a 2 to 4 year ban by UEFA's disciplinary committee, depending on what the drug tests show, if anything. Meanwhile, Plzeň awaits its biggest home match on February 19th, when it will defend its league title against Teplice.
Christian Falvey there with the sport. And you're tuned to Radio Prague. Now Sarah Borůvka speaks to the Czech documentary filmmaker Martin Dušek about his life and work in One on One.
Martin Dušek, who often works with co-director Ondřej Provazník, is a two-time winner of the main prize at the Jihlava International Documentary Film Festival, the Czech Republic's most prestigious documentary award. His films A Town Called Hermitage and Coal in the Soul were both shot in the former Sudetenland in North Bohemia, a border region whose Sudeten German inhabitants were expelled from Czechoslovakia after the war. Martin Dušek's latest film deals with his own Sudeten German heritage in a humorous and provocative way. I caught up with the director to speak about why this part of the country continues to inspire him and how he discovered his love for making documentaries.
Everything comes from my grandfather, Leo, who was a great storyteller. And when I was young, I was listening all his stories and that somehow I always wanted to be like him. And I was watching maybe also too much television in my childhood. So this both things concluded in me becoming a documentary filmmaker.
And you collaborate on a lot of projects with your friend Ondřej Provazník. When did the two of you decide that you're not going to just be friends but also work together?
We met during our journalistic studies in Prague. then we started to study television branch or television section of the journalistic studies, and there we started to cooperate. And then the journalistic studies were over, and Ondřej went to FAMU to study script writing. And I became a film journalist. I was a staff writer in the Czech version of Premiere magazine. And then once I met Ondřej on the street, and we haven't seen during last 3 or 4 years. And I remember meeting him at Malostranská and telling him we must do something together to make some film, to come back to our cooperation, and it must be something connected to Germany or something about Czech-German relationships, because our country is too small to make films just for the country. And that's how the Postevna das ist Paradies was born, our first documentary we did together with our producer Sasha Furtula from Netherlands.
And in English, that documentary is called A Town Called Hermitage. Maybe you can describe a bit what that film was about.
Well, it was a portrait of a small city on the Czech-German border, and we kind of portrayed it, uprooted town, which was inhabited by ethnic Germans until the end of the Second World War. And then there was this expulsion of Sudeten Germans and new people started to come. We found this city in 2004, and there were several groups of people living next to each other, more than together, really. There were Vietnamese people and mentally retarded people, because communists sent all the mentally sick people from all the Czechoslovakia into this area behind the mountains on the border. So we chose several different characters, different lonely characters from this lonely groups of people.
And the film had quite a quirky subject matter, but I believe it was quite well received, and you showed it at a lot of festivals, is that right?
We won the Czech National Prize for the best documentary at Jihlava Film Festival, and we went to Göteborg Film Festival in Sweden, which is quite a big event in Scandinavia. And then we traveled with it all around the world, thanks to Czech Center's web. So it was very nice.
And after that first success, you later released another documentary, which also you worked on with Ondřej Prvazník, and it's called An English Call in the Soul. And I believe it shows a kind of conflict through two characters who are on different sides of a spectrum regarding an issue. What is this issue, and what are these two women fighting about?
We found another subject also in North Bohemia, which is a very specific region, because of the Sudeten German expulsion and the heavy industry put there by communists, and now a high unemployment number. So this issue you were talking about is a coal mining, because there is lots of huge open face lignite mining places with these giant excavators simply eating out the countryside. And now there is one of the last small cities there endangered by the mining, and the city's name is Horní Řetín. But we were not focusing on the subject directly. We were lucky to find two different characters, Libiana, who is a PR manager for the coal mining company, and as an antagonist there is Hanna, who is an unsuccessful musical singer and green activist, who lives on the castle right above the mining place. And these two ladies and their very different attitudes to life and the subject of coal mining made this film, which was also quite successful.
I believe it also won the Jihlava Documentary Award, and you took it to Tel Aviv. Now, how does a foreign audience react to a subject matter that is in a way so quintessentially Czech?
I think for Israelis it was very interesting, and it was well received, because it's also, you know, the subject is not coal mining in Czech Republic, but it's more about relationship to landscape and to the land and attitude to life. So it was well received because the subject is general.
You already mentioned this, but you live here in Prague, in the Czech capital, but you are from a little town called Česká Lípa, and a lot of your films deal not with Prague, not with other parts of the Czech Republic, but with the Sudeten region. Maybe you could explain why you think this region is interesting and why it keeps coming back in your film work.
It's my homeland. It's my homeland, and really, when I was in Česká Lípa, when I was in school, there were not many kids who could say that their grandparents and grand-grandparents used to live there for years, for generations. And I can say that from both sides, the people were living there for, I don't know if for centuries, but something like that. So I really feel attached to this North Bohemia. As for a documentary film director, it's a region where everything is so concentrated, you know, all the problems and issues which are important for Czech Republic. So it's natural for me to find subjects for my or for our films we are doing together with Ondřej there.
And let's talk a bit about your latest project titled Mein Kreuz, and it's very personal and quite provocative. Can you describe the premise, the starting point of this documentary?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to have a fall costume because we were going to Moravia for holidays and I saw all the people on horses with these costumes and I was wondering why we don't have any in Česká Lípa. The only folk costume, which is in Czech, kroj. So the only kroj I had was my pioneer kroj, which was a communist Boy Scouts organization. And 2 years ago, I found out that there is a folk costume from Česká Lípa. And I found out that this kroj was artificially made after the war. It was simply assembled by the local people in the museum from different parts of costumes from different parts of our country. I thought that I can't identify with this fake costume, so I thought that I should make my own folk costume, you know, to have something to identify with, which I did really, you know. I took old jacket or blazer after my grandfather, and I took even the rear lights from old Skoda Octavia I inherited by my grandfather. So I created this folk costume and I went to Sudeten German Con in Augsburg to this Sudetentag because my grandfather was half Sudeten German and his old friends were always inviting him to Sudetentag and he never went there. So I thought that maybe the invitation, I can use the invitation. I went there to Augsburg and I was talking with lots of Sudeten Germans, and in majority they are very nice people. They have nothing against Czechs, but there is this Sudeten German Landsmannschaft, which is a political organization, which is, I think, a right Christian orientated. I think that they are using the old story about the expulsion and the old people for their political reasons, which is not good. So the old people quite like my idea of collecting my costume. I was telling them all the stories about my family, about the place I'm coming from. They were laughing together with me, and then even I was dancing in my silly costume among the Sudeten Germans, and a young girl in Tracht in folk costume came to me and said, "Oh, you are our Sudeten German Borat." So I was very pleased by this reaction of the people there. But the other day it happened that I was expelled from this nice event by the Sudeten Landsmannschaft. So it was all about expulsion.
If people told you you went too far with your film or you mocked these people, what would you say to that?
Well, I think that the film shows different reactions. It shows an old guy who liked the idea and I'm talking with him about expulsion. So I wasn't simply mocking the people. Of course, it crosses the line of a good behavior, let's say, but why not? If I wouldn't do that, we wouldn't speak today together. So at least we have something to discuss about. And I liked and I liked it very much, you know, to wear the costume and dancing with the Sudeten German, it was like in a dream.
Lastly, I think right now you and Ondrej are venturing outside of the territory of documentaries and you have prepared together a project for a feature film. Would you like to tell us a bit about this film, the plot, which stage of production you're in right now?
We always wanted to make something about communism and we came up with a story of old people and it should be an action film, action movie with old people, and the subject would be dealing with communism.
Sarah Borivka was talking to Martin Dušek in this week's One on One. Time now, though, to brush up those Czech language skills. It's another ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech.
My name is Pavla Horáková and today I'm joined in the studio by Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
The letter for today is O and the topic o'clock, or things to do with time. The word for time in Czech is
čas.
The units of time are
hodina,
an hour,
minuta,
a minute, and
vteřina,
for a second. You can also say
sekunda,
which you may find easier to say. The word for clock is
hodiny,
literally translated as hours. And the wristwatch is
hodinky,
or small hours. Be careful, both words are plurals. There are several types of clocks.
Sluneční hodiny.
That's a sundial.
Přesýpací hodiny.
An hourglass, or
kukačkové hodiny.
A cuckoo clock. If you come across the expression
hodinky s vodotryskem,
remember it's not a special type of wristwatch with a fountain attached to it, as the literal translation suggests. It stands for something unattainable yet useless, and people use the expression when someone wants something special, which is not to be had, and without really knowing what it is. It is well known to students of Czech that the language has a complicated system of telling time. Czechs use quarters, halves, and three quarters, and various words change their endings depending on the grammar. Matthew, a businessman from New York, has lived in the country for several years and he still finds the system puzzling. To say it's 20 to 4 in Czech is quite difficult. I asked him if he could pull it off.
Oh, it's 5 minutes before 45 minutes after 3. Is that correct? Which, when, by the time you say that, it's really 10 to 4, isn't it? Which means that you're always 10 minutes late to whatever you're going to go to. I think that's incredible. I think it's really great.
Well, it's 20 to 4 in Czech is
je za 5 minut 3 čtvrtě na 4.
Literally meaning it's 5 minutes to 3 quarters to 4. Encouraging, isn't it? I have one useful tip for you if you don't feel up to penetrating the mysterious system of time-telling in Czech. You can always give digital time, and instead of asking people for time, grab their arms and check their watches. Or one even simpler tip, carry your own watch. Well, that's all that can be said in one episode, I'm afraid. Don't forget that all the previous editions of the ABC of Czech are accessible both in sound and text on our website. That's www.radio.cz/English. If you have problems viewing letters from the Czech alphabet properly, try setting your browser to Central European languages. Our time is up, I'm afraid, but join us again next time. Bye-bye.
Naschledanou.
ABC of Czech, rounding off Radio Prague for today. So from me, Peter Smith, the whole of Radio Prague's team, on a beautifully crisp and sunny winter day here in the Czech capital, it's a big hello to Jason Isaacs, and please join us again tomorrow. Bye-bye.